Welcome to the Engagement Fit Drive podcast. We're so happy to have you join us. And together with Tracy, Andrew, and Claire, let's make bringing your drives to life practical and fun. In our drives and action episodes, we'll share stories of drives at play in everyday scenarios so you can relate and gain deeper understanding of your drives. In our Driving Impact episodes, we'll sit down with incredible guests who are using the Drive framework and tools to create meaningful impact, both professionally and personally. Whether you're here to better understand yourself, your team, or simply curious about living a thriving and inspired life, you're in the right place. So let's dive in.
Welcome back. We hope you enjoyed episode 19, where we unpacked the first four of the thinking domain drives and how drives influence communication. So now we're on part B, where we're going to look at the next five drives from the thinking domain. These drives are the navigator, the orientator, the skeptic, the specialist, and the visionary. Andrew and I are going to explore how these five powerful drives influence the way teams think, decide, and move forward. So let's get into it and see how thinking energy becomes communication energy.
Navigator. This drive's influence on communication will tend to be fast, decisive, and forward-moving. They communicate with clarity and confidence about the path ahead. They are ready two steps ahead of everyone else. They make sense of complexity, anticipate obstacles, and quickly chart the best route forward. They are best understood when their need for autonomy in decision-making is respected, others trust their ability to make quick calls and follow their lead, and they are given space to explain course corrections without being second-guessed. Potential blind spots and misunderstandings, as they can be perceived as too independent, directive, or dismissive of input. They might frustrate drives that prefer collaboration or a consensus building. And they risk losing team alignment if they fail to communicate changes or rationale behind their decisions.
Speed, speed, speed with our navigator is the fastest thinking drive. And I can really share some insight because I am a dominant navigator. We literally think on our feet, and therefore communication tends to be fast, also influenced by other drives. Especially I've got initiator when everything is fast.
Trace, exactly. It's just worth exploring initiator, navigator's impact as a booster in communication and managing this need and urgency to get started.
Yeah, very much so. So the need to get going, do stuff, all about speed, that huge amount of speed. And then, of course, being able to not only initiate, but if you've got the navigator with it, is you actually know where to go, which direction, and the speed with which you can move or think. Let's get back to thinking drive. The speed with which you can think, you are mitigating obstacles and risks along the way. And this is what it looks like when you're leaving people behind, because they can't see your thinking. They tend to think that you're changing your mind all the time. But what in essence the navigator is doing is navigating the obstacles. And yes, communication is challenging here because, and also let's look at context. If it's a high pressure situation or things need to be done quickly, because it's an emergency, there's going to be less communication. So again, if you're a dominant navigator, think about times when it is, when you have time to communicate and the need to communicate, where as opposed to if it's high pressure and the communication is short because we don't have time to expand, is maybe even the beginning of that is, guys, it's crisis, I'm going to be direct with you. You know, even just saying that in the beginning, just so you get people's attention and they're going to follow you. Whereas in times that it possibly not have to be so hurried, your communication can be more extensive, especially if you've got people with you in your team or around you that need more information. they're not just going to happily follow you because they can see a whole lot of things that possibly you can't even see. Even though you're going to navigate that on your path, you still could miss things. That's why skeptic and navigator work so well together, because the skeptic sees everything that can go wrong and can communicate that to the navigator. But this autonomy is quite important for a navigator because they want to make the call. They want to go ahead. And I think it's because there's so much confidence that comes with this drive as well. Being able to think on your feet. I never find myself in hot water. We can sort of think our way through things. And therefore, sometimes we don't need other people's input or opinions. But it's such a blind spot because obviously, you know, you can't see what other people can see. And it could absolutely influence the outcome of something by having other people's opinions. So I think navigators really do need to learn how to communicate. If you're working on your own, it's a different story. But when in a team environment or an organization, is communicate. Go to a navigator when things have to be done fast, when there isn't time and decisions need to be made quickly. Go and find a navigator.
When you consider what Tracy's saying around the speed, and the speed versus communicating when you're not under pressure and when you're under pressure, the reason why teams following might be frustrated is obviously they create stability, predictability, routine, and the plan. But navigators' ability to pivot fast can be perceived by a team following as they keep changing their minds, to Tracy's point earlier, where people need clarity on goal and mission, and that target keeps moving or the goalposts keep changing. It can be interpreted as very frustrating by the teams that need more certainty and predictability. And sometimes what really helps there is just to communicate the reasons behind that, as Tracy's already said. But obviously, when you're doing dynamic navigation on the fly, which is the strength of Navigator, there's not always time for that. We're going to move on to the orientator drive. This drive's influence on communication will tend to be past referencing, traditional, and precedent focused. They communicate by recalling what has been done before, why it was established, and how past lessons should inform present choices. Their tone often carries a sense of continuity and respect for tradition. They're best understood when others value their ability to anchor current decisions in proven history. Their reminders of why it was done this way are seen as grounding, not resistance. And they are invited to share lessons that they learned before moving forward. Their blind spots and misunderstandings can be perceived as resistant to change, stuck in the past, or overly conservative. They may frustrate innovators or visionaries who want to break away from history and tradition. And they may risk being overlooked in fast-moving conversations that prioritize novelty over tradition.
Their communication is definitely going to be past influenced. You will hear, they will say things like, we used to, when we did it that way, way back then. Even the way they communicate is needing more clarity. If now we need to move forward, they need the past reference. They need to know how it was done before. It's the way they orientate themselves in the world. This is another time-orientated drive. So they need that history. They need the backstory. So it's very important, if you've got an orientator in your team, that you give them that backstory so they can feel grounded. They are orientated in how to move forward. So it's not necessary that they live in the past. They may be seen to live in the past because their reference is the past, but given enough information, they're happy to move forward. They're very grounded because the past has happened. It's concrete. If you think about a visionary looking into the future, that hasn't even happened yet. That's still airy-fairy. There's no facts or anything. Whereas being around and orientated, you will feel grounded because they have history. They carry that history. They're very nostalgic. They love to communicate good old times. They will love to sit with you and really reminisce about the old times. So their memory of experiences where they can remember these wonderful times is very, very good. They love to make that memory. The way the orientator also needs to be mindful of communicating is to communicate exactly that. I need more background. Can you give me more information? Really ask what you need in order to make sense of things. Because people don't know, people are not aware of how you think. Especially like we've said, the very fast or forward moving drives that are about the future, they're not worried about the past, whereas you are anchored in that history.
Two things about orientators. Number one, their communication will be very specific. In 1965, this particular event, and this is what happened. And so you will hear it in the being date orientated and very detailed. One of the strong contributions of orientator is what can we learn from the past so that we don't make the same mistake going forward? And as Tracy said, because the past has already happened, insights from the past and potential mistakes that could be avoided based on what happened in the past is very worth considering when you're venturing something new and you don't have the facts and information because you don't know what to expect. Trace, you made a point also about those of us where orientator is not a strong drive. And just as a matter of interest, orientator doesn't often show up as a dominant drive for a lot of people. Taking time to listen to the insights from orientators and to practice patience and to listen to the stories that they have to tell and show up curious in that space about what we can learn from those who tend to navigate life from referencing the past to move forward.
I do have my beliefs on this, and my beliefs are it is a drainer for a lot of people, orientator. It's very uncommon for people to have it in their dominant drives. And my feeling is because as humans, we don't sit around the fire handing down our generational stories anymore. We're becoming more insular and isolated. We're losing all that history. So I don't know if that's influencing this drive at all. It's very sad, as you said, because our history is important.
Mm. The next drive we're going to consider is skeptic. This drive's influence on a communication will tend to be challenging, inquisitive, and analytical. Skeptics probe for flaws, risks, and inconsistencies. They ask hard questions, they test assumptions, and they look for weak points. They're best understood when others don't take their questioning as a personal attack, but as sharpening thought. Their concerns are addressed respectfully and their insights are heard and not dismissed. Blind spots and potential misunderstandings. They can be perceived as cynical, negative, pessimistic, or obstructive, and they may frustrate drives that prefer optimism and momentum.
Biggest thing I think with skeptics is because the first thing they see is the flaws, all the things that are going wrong, they tend to communicate that first. When I am coaching a skeptic, I like to say to them, see where other people are at in their thinking. You know what you've thought. You've already run through your brain all the possibilities and all the things that can go wrong. But instead of just saying all of that, there's a time and place, obviously, but it tends to be the first thing that skeptics say, and it can really get people's backs up. So I say to them, just ask a few questions, see where other people in their thinking, and then come in a bit more gently. Is, have you noticed this? This is what I'm picking up. I think in terms of communication, in terms of connection, it could be a better way of handling things. And I'm saying this is very context-based. And as we know, Walt Disney does not put a skeptic in the first room where all the ideas are flowing and all the innovators are coming up with these wonderful ideas because the skeptic is shooting them out the water. He will bring the skeptic into the next room where it's, okay, we've got these ideas, which one should we run with? So very valid in the way you think and what you can see that others can't, because it jumps out at a skeptic, what they can see, the risks and the inconsistencies and the flaws they automatically see that. So very valid input that they can give. And I think their communication just needs to be around how to communicate that. Don't not communicate it, but how do we communicate that effectively?
Skeptic tends to communicate in a very logical and rational way. And they use logic and rationale to make sense of the world. Very clinical thinking again. This is something that skeptics need to also consider in their language and communication. Because of that clinical nature, it can be perceived as offensive because you're asking too many questions, or that the manner in which you are communicating what you see can cause offense. And that's where people tend to label skeptics as pessimists and being negative. It is important to distinguish between being a skeptic, a well-managed skeptic, and a cynic. A well-managed skeptic will notice what could go wrong, flaws, be probing for inconsistencies, and probing for risk, and then sharing those insights. However, you do get people who tend to be cynical. Their perspectives are very negative, pessimistic, and cynical, and they're not interested in being convinced of seeing things the other way. It's one other thing that we have learned as coaches driving through this framework. When it comes to how we communicate to others, our default place of how we communicate will be logical, clinical, and rational. So when that comes in contact with people who tend to see things from an emotional or feeling way of experiencing life, this can often cause skeptics and, for example, enthusiasts who have a tendency to see the positives and to experience life through the lens of more emotion and feeling. Very often this causes a dynamic in communication that's worth considering.
Some insight into working with skeptics, communicating with skeptics, it's very valid to take this into consideration. And I'm just going to give you an example from my life when I was repping. A client who was the biggest skeptic, once you have won them over, once you have given them enough information, they become your best client. But you've got to take the time to find out where they are in their thinking. What information is missing? What do they not understand? Why do they not see the benefit of what you're trying to sell them? Once you have done that, a skeptic, as I said, will be your biggest client. They'll be your biggest supporter. And on that note, when skeptics are communicating what they can see, their thinking is, I have seen all the risks. I need to communicate this. I need to warn people. They need to be heard with what they have thought about. If you allow them to have their say, to tell you all the risks, all the things, that's all they want. If you can then say to them, I hear you, I understand where you're coming from. We're going to continue and I'll tell you why, X, Y, and Z. They will happily go with you. But they do need to know that you have understood what they have thought about that you possibly haven't.
To finish off that statement, skeptic, with the example, let's take skeptic navigator as a good example of that. So obviously, navigators need the authority and the freedom to make quick decisions on the fly and for the team to follow. And for a skeptic, they might be saying, I wouldn't have made that decision or that choice. And obviously, there's couple of dynamics at play. First of all, it's the speed of thinking, navigator versus skeptic. Second of all, it's skeptic sort of seeing what could potentially go wrong. But I think the last point I want to make that's quite valuable to consider there is a navigator is not going to look at a potential obstacle as needing a game plan. Their focus is going to be there's an obstacle in the way, we need to get around it fast. Skeptic's going to see that it might, in conversation, say this is what could potentially go wrong. And the mind of the navigator is, well, how are we going to get around it? Whereas skeptic's going to say, this could be a problem, it could be a risk, what's the game plan? And that's maybe where they miss each other. But skeptics don't always necessarily want to be the person who make the call. So to Tracy's point, if you've been given an opportunity and it can be as simple as, on the navigator's part, what did I miss? And you just share your insights. That's enough for a skeptic. The next drive, which is specialist, this drive's influence on communication will tend to be in-depth, precise, and knowledge-driven. They communicate by drawing on their expertise, sharing facts, and explaining concepts thoroughly. Their words often carry authority because they've invested time in mastering their subject. They are best understood when others recognize their depth of knowledge and respect the effort behind it. They are encouraged to share what they have learned without being dismissed as pedantic. Their need for reliable sources and accuracy is valued rather than challenged. Blind spots and potential misunderstandings. They can be perceived as overly detailed, rigid, or know-it-alls, especially when enthusiasm to share knowledge is misread as arrogance. They may frustrate drives that prefer speed, breadth, or big-picture talk, and they risk being undervalued if their expertise is taken for granted or not applied.
The specialist has a curious way of thinking, and they retain so much information of something that they are interested or something that they've just learned. They love to share that, and they have such a high capacity for retention of this information that they tend to share all of that. And I just say, if you see people stepping back or their eyes starting to, you're starting to lose them, because not everybody has that same capacity. It is that energy around learning new things, and they love sharing it, and their communication will be very much that they make great teachers because they love, especially if it's something they're interested in.
This drive is energized by the process of ongoing learning. Specialist is a dominant drive for me. So what Tracy was saying earlier about how much information you tend to share with people, your need to deeply understand something and all the detail so that it makes sense to you is not necessarily what everybody else needs. And because you're energized by this and you get on a buzz by learning this, you can be so excited and passionate about wanting to share how all of this works and how it makes sense that you completely overwhelm other people. And it's an ongoing learning process for me. Number one, not just the volume of information, but also there are going to be times when there isn't time to download all of that. And for faster moving drives, especially people like initiators who tend to want to learn by doing rather than doing what specialists do, sitting down and doing deep learning, it's a different way of how people show up, and it's worth remembering that everyone's different.
I'll give you a lovely example of that, Andrew. I am an initiator. I do not, when I buy something, read the manual. I do not do that. I can tell you right now, I might need to find how to switch it on, but that is the only thing I will read. I have to press buttons. I have to, whereas my son is a dominant specialist, he will have read the whole manual. He'll know everything about it, and then he will use the plants. So it just, yeah, we're all very different.
The downsides of that specialist is that I don't need to ask anyone how to do this. What you'll tend to do is that you'll tend to be overly ambitious about a project you take on. Not that you won't do the research, but there's a lot of skill in what people do in the world. And they make it look easy, and specialists can get into trouble with that.
I give another example, Andrew, also with specialists, my son, and I'll give you an example of how he goes through life. If he wants to buy something, he will have researched it to the end of all the research that he can find. He will then go into the store, and obviously he now has more information than the poor salesman, and that poor salesman gets absolutely drilled. And exactly that retention of knowledge. So he doesn't go in there with his notebook. It's all in his head. He knows exactly all the specs of this equipment or whatever it is that he's buying. It's quite something to watch actually a specialist in action with all this amazing knowledge.
I can resonate and relate. That's exactly how I shop too. We're going on to our final drive now, which is visionary. This drive's influence on communication will tend to be future referencing, expansive and horizon focused. They communicate with conviction about what's coming, often speaking as if they are already living in the future that they see. Their language is inspirational, painting vivid pictures of possibilities and direction. Best understood when others allow them to cast the vision before grounding it in present detail. Their forward-looking clarity is valued as guidance rather than dismissed as unrealistic. They are supported by drives who can help translate vision into steps. Blind spots and potential misunderstandings is they can be seen as impractical, vague, or too far ahead of the present moment. They may frustrate drives anchored in detail, tradition, or caution, and they risk losing their audience if they don't connect their vision to today's reality.
Let me give some insights into when we say that they live in the future. So for some of you listening, you probably don't have any context to that because it seems so left field. But visionaries literally, and I can speak for myself, we live as if what we have envisioned has already happened. And what do I mean by that? First of all, I want to just reiterate that our brains don't know the difference between imagination and reality. When you imagine something, your world or everything around you now, your brain is scanning for how to make that thing become a reality. So for a visionary, there's no doubt that whatever we've envisioned is going to come to fruition because it's already happened. And when I say that we live there, it's you say, for example, you are building a new house. A visionary will imagine that always they live their day walking in that house, walking in the garden, what the house looks like, what does it feel like to live there. So their reference, even in the now, is that time when they are living in that house, how it feels, what they can see, anything that pertains to that surrounding. So a true visionary, and when you talk about that, I'm only talking about visionary, not being influenced by the other drives. They need to just be a bit careful because they can spend their whole life in the future. And the best way to live is actually in the present. So visionaries tend to miss out on the here and now because they're always living ahead. And they can't wait for the present to catch up with their vision. And another point is sometimes Andrew and I talk about it, and when Andrew talks about me being a navigator and navigators being two steps ahead, I'll say, I feel like I'm 20 steps ahead. And this is definitely influenced by my visionary drive, that I don't just look at the horizon. I'm looking way past the horizon. So communication for a visionary, the language is always going to be future reference. It's going to when this is how it's going to be. There'll always be future reference. So their communication needs to be effective because people can't see what they can see or envision what they have envisioned. A visionary as a leader of an organization, what a wonderful drive to have because they have the vision for where the company is going. But I feel like talking to a lot of people in companies, they don't know the company vision. They don't know where the company is headed. I feel that needs to be communicated way more because when people align with that vision, they start to take steps every day to bring the company more to hitting that vision or making that vision a reality.
Trace, as you speak like that, what comes to mind is this is a non-linear way of thinking. And visionaries very much see the future. It's a visual drive. And again, other drives will influence how this particular drive shows up. But maybe some of the aspects around communicating the vision they see is fleshing out the details with other people's help, that is. In the valuable contribution they make is envisioning a future that everyone can be grounded in. And that's where we're headed, setting direction. That's the vision. Then allowing other people to start fleshing out the type of detail that other people need in the here and now and the steps we need to move forward.
I agree with that. Yes, absolutely. Very important point, Andrew. And I think also the strong visionary drive for me really helps me in what I do is in holding the vision for clients that they can't see what I can see for them. Mm. And I just hold that space for them and I communicate without overwhelming them and maybe just giving them small steps to accomplishing what they need to or get to where they need to. So it's a very powerful drive. Visionaries change the world and it's because of this. They know that this is going to happen. One other thing we do need to mention is visionaries don't necessarily know how, when, or why. They just know it's going to happen. And they need to let go and let the process unfold. Here, I'm quite fortunate because I have one of the other time-orientated drives, first responder, quite high up. So I tend to bring myself back to the present. But visionaries struggle with this is in trying to control everything to make it happen. And they need to just let go and trust their process.
A statement I want to put out to you, Trace, for your consideration and feedback is a challenge around communication for a visionary may be that in their mind, because they're always future referencing and thinking over the horizon, in their minds, what they see is already done. So what's the point of communicating that and considering the need to go back and communicate what they see doesn't even enter their heads? Is that true?
Definitely. And in cases with other influencing drives, if, for example, you've got contemplative visionary, you're really battling with your communication, that I would say that you could have visionary articulator. Boy, everybody's going to know your vision. So I think what does need to be communicated, if you are leading an organization or a team, communicate your vision because it gives people direction. It gives people, what are we working towards? What does it look like? Where are we all headed? And it gets people not even on the same page, on the same paragraph, and it definitely brings clarity to what needs to happen.
Thanks for joining us on this exciting journey of self-discovery and fulfillment. We hope you found inspiration, practical takeaways, and maybe a deeper understanding of how drives work in action. If you want to discover your drives, head over to engagementfit.com and take the drive assessment. If you love this episode, remember to hit the subscribe button. We'd also love to hear your thoughts, so leave us a review or share this episode with someone who's ready to unlock their drives and thrive. Until next time, keep driving towards a life of meaningful impact.
There might be a very strong tendency to disengage and to give up, but a visionary communicating that vision and the value that it could bring gives everybody else something to look forward to and to keep moving towards. It's a very forward-focusing, possibility-driven drive that can help people in the here and now keep moving forward.
And bring hope, Andrew. And what you've hope. Said is to bring hope, yes. Which I think is so important.
Yes. Yes. The key to remember is that three out of our four time referencing drives in this framework are thinking drives. Visionary, which is future referencing, orientator, that's past referencing, and integrator, that's big picture interconnected thinking. All of these are constructs of our mind.
Thanks for joining us on this exciting journey of self-discovery and fulfillment. We hope you found inspiration, practical takeaways, and maybe a deeper understanding of how drives work in action. If you want to discover your drives, head over to engagementfit.com and take the drive assessment. If you love this episode, remember to hit the subscribe button. We'd also love to hear your thoughts, so leave us a review or share this episode with someone who's ready to unlock their drives and thrive. Until next time, keep driving towards a life of meaningful impact.